Your daily TFMR podcast is brought to you by JMBullion.com, your number one most trusted online bullion dealer. Happy weekend, everybody, at TFMR. Your host, Herd Ferguson, returns. It is Friday, May the 15th, 2020. It's time to wrap up a great week and look at the charts, look at the COT, and then get ready for the rest of the month, which is only going to get even more interesting. So aren't we having fun? In fact, yours truly is already in the sauce. I thought, what the heck? Rather than wait until this baby was in the can, I'd go ahead and make myself a gin and tonic right now. And I'm so excited because I had finally found a gin that I had only tried in a restaurant before. It's a product of Scotland, and it's at St. Andrews, which is obviously a place near and dear to my heart, and it's St. Andrews Gin. It's delicious. So anyway, I'm already into the sauce a little bit. Why not? Why not get intoxicated? This market action is so intoxicating, and we should be having fun. In fact, there should be more of us having fun. And so I thought, you know what? As I went to press record on this podcast, I think we're just going to make this podcast public. I'd already put a little coupon code on a Twitter earlier today for people to get half off their first month. So I think we'll make this podcast public as well so people begin to understand what they're missing. I mean, for God's sake, 12 bucks a month, get the first month for $6. I think everybody here that has been playing along in the minors this year is seeing their accounts go up by more than $6 a month. In fact, by the way, today, most of you know, I swore off the miners in 2012, only bought them back because by chance a former employer of mine offered me a cash out of a defined benefit plan. So I got this check in November of 2015. I thought, ah, screw it. I mean, how much farther down can the miners go? Well, that little IRA account today officially hit a triple. I still can't believe it. It's up 3x. From where it started, what is that, 4.5 years ago? Not too shabby. I got a sneaky feeling it might be going a little bit higher. Did you see the miners today? Yeah. Fabulous performance. GDX all the way up at 36.57. The HUI closing in on 300. GDXJ closing in on 46. Those are the best levels in those since, well, 2016. The HUI finally closing in on a breakout to its 2013 level. All of them chasing the GDX. All of them just kicking fanny since the onset of QE to infinity 8 weeks ago. I'll give you your scorecard update in a minute. And it sure looks like it's going to get even more interesting in the days ahead, sadly. The U.S. economy is in the tank. The latest Atlanta Fed GDP Now estimate is for a contraction of 43%. I can hardly even believe it when I say that. Report out from the Fed this afternoon after the stock market closed, casting aspersions, shall we say, on the stock market. Worried about commercial real estate and other sectors. We got Soros and Buffett liquidating equity positions. And then you throw this log on the fire. Do you remember, well, 8 weeks ago, on Sunday, March the 22nd, Neil Cashencarry, the head goon of the Minneapolis Fed, was on the U.S. program 60 Minutes, interviewed by the revered Scott Pelley. And Scott Pelley asked Cashencarry if there was any limit to what the Fed could do to try to protect the economy. And Cashencarry said, no. Our money creation is infinite. That's the word he used, infinite. So when we talk about QE to infinity, look, we're just using the Fed's own words. All right, well, that was Sunday night, March the 22nd. Monday morning, March the 23rd, 8 o'clock Eastern, here comes QE to infinity, 13 hours later. Might interest you to know that Chief Goon Powell is going to be on 60 Minutes this Sunday. We'll see what he has to say, and we'll see what the Fed has to say come Monday after, again, this report that came out after the stock market closed today, and with everything, just this is just so horrible, what has happened with the economy. Again, guys like Soros and Buffett, as much as you might dislike them, are not stupid. Boy, oh boy. Hard to see any other way out besides continued money printing, continued devaluation of fiat currency, this ongoing, continuing rush into precious metals, the spreads continuing to widen now again versus spot. It's not a function of metal not being in the right place or logistics or airplanes not flying or whatever bullshit was spewed by apologists like Jeffrey Christian. Obviously, there's distrust in the bullion banking system because no one is putting on those spread trades and trying to arbitrage the difference between spot and the futures because people don't have confidence they're going to get metal. Did you see even the May gold, which is not a delivery month, adding open interest while it trades during the month, all the way back up to 1,600 contracts, and they've already delivered 8,800. So the May gold is going to go over 10,000 contracts. It never does more than 1,000 historically. So we got that going on. And now we're seeing some speculative interest come back into COMEX gold and silver. This is exactly what we want to have. How aggressive will the banks be in adding shorts, adding contracts? Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. But they're putting on some. Just in the Wednesday-Thursday time frame, not even counting today, where silver was up a dollar. Wednesday-Thursday, gold was up $34. Open interest was up nearly 25,000 contracts, 5%. So you get 2% price, 5% open interest growth. That's about how it usually works. Silver up 44 cents those 2 days, open interest up 5,200. Then silver was up 91 cents today. So we're getting some spec interest to return as well. Man, the charts look great all across the board, and therefore it's time for a sip of gin and tonic. Damn, that's delicious. It must be summertime. And it is summertime. How about that? Okay, so anyway, we're in a great shape. Doesn't mean it's nothing but upticks, right? We know that. Even just earlier this week, we were just getting, you know, had not a real pleasant experience Monday. And then the miners just kept getting smashed during the New York Stock Exchange session Monday through Wednesday. But as we always know, it's not how you begin the week that matters. It's how you end it. And boy, oh boy, did we end the week well. In fact, gold, COMEX gold, finished up at $1,753 on that June contract. That is the best weekly close in COMEX gold since Friday, October 12th, 2012. How about that? 7.5 years. Right after the start of QE3, as a matter of fact. And you look now, man, there's just a lot of open field running potentially ahead of it. We get that past the 1789 highs of a month ago. We're going to put an 18 on there, and we're going to go from 18 to 1900 quick. And silver's picking up too, obviously. Very interesting. We've been waiting for it to get through its 50-day. It finally did. And now it's rushing to catch up with everything else, which is exactly as we've been expecting. It's taken a little longer than we thought. We're about a month behind schedule. But we know that gold got through its 50-day and then took off. The GDX got through its 50-day and then took off. The GDXJ got through its 50-day and then took off. And now finally silver is taking off. And as we'll show you with the charts, the target based off of where the GDXJ is up near 20. How fast can it get there, I think, is the only question at this point. So we've had a very good week. Look forward to a very interesting week next week, which, again, with Chief Goon Powell on 60 Minutes come Sunday, anything could happen. Let's get to the charts, shall we? First of all, here's that link from Zero Hedge, the only link on this page. This came out late this afternoon. Fed warns stocks face significant declines if pandemic worsens. Now, you might think, well, you know, the miners are stocks too. Yeah, that's true. You might think, well, the last time the stock market went down, gold and silver went down too because of margin pressures and the like. Yeah, that's true too. But I don't think the same would unfold the exact same way this time. I could be wrong. But if we do go down again, the pressure is just going to grow on the Fed to pump up the QE even farther. Remember, there wasn't a QE to infinity the last time stocks fell in February to March. In fact, the S&P is now up something like 24% since QE to infinity began. So if stocks do fall, the Fed's just going to pump more cash. And as I've told you on several occasions, they're now with them now buying ETFs of corporate bonds. I don't know what the round number will be, but let's just say, hey, Dow gets below 20,000, they'll start buying the SPY and the Qs and everything else to pump it up because they can't afford it to crash. We talked about this on Wednesday. Pension plans, public and private, 401k plans, IRAs just cannot afford just a collapse of asset price, what that would do to those plans, but also just the evaporation of liquidity if that were to happen. So as the Fed acts to prop up the stock market, even more juice for our precious metals and our mining shares. So anyway, there's that link. All right, here's your latest from our little buddy down in Atlanta, lowering his second quarter GDP estimate again today. Again, why retail sales were terrible, as you know. The capacity utilization and industrial production was 100-year lows. So now our little buddy down there, minus 42. It was at minus 35. And now he's at minus 43. And yet you're still going to get, you know, Kudlow on the weekend news show saying, yeah, oh, I think we're going to be positive in the third quarter. What? Yeah. Do you know how what kind of month you're going to have to string together after July to eke out a pie? Just really, really unlikely. Anyway, this is just remarkable. And I thought I would lead off with that today. All right, here's your updated scorecard. Just a shot of I put it on Twitter first because I figured we'd just talk about it today. Again, the first 8 weeks of the rest of your life, acknowledged overt QE to infinity, not by, just by the Fed, but by the ECB and the Bank of Japan, everybody else. So in the first 8 weeks, dollar index actually down a little bit. But again, that's just all relative versus other fiat. COMEX gold now nearly 18% higher. S&P up 24%. COMEX silver up 38% in 8 weeks. And of course, the big winner, the GDX, up now 78% in 8 weeks. Again, it's probably not going to go up another 78% in the next 8 weeks. Who knows? Maybe it will. It's never going to go straight up, but boy, oh boy. As I discussed with Eric Sprott today, the rule is starting to come into effect, which is global asset allocation shifting to the sector, massive amount of cash chasing very few investment opportunities, and you see it now in the share prices. What's Franco Nevada, 150? What was it just a few weeks ago, 110? 100? Newmont pushing towards 70 in all-time highs? Man, just great fun. Okay, next up, I wanted to show you this. Again, we mentioned this earlier. The spreads, the widening spreads again between the front month gold, but more in silver. Remember, gold just a couple days ago was down to just a couple dollars. Everything's fine, man. The refineries are running again. The mints are reopening. All of a sudden, it's $11 again. Why is that not immediately being arbitraged? Well, for the same reason it wasn't being arbitraged in April and March. And now look at silver. It was always about gold, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, the gold's in the wrong place. Oh, yeah, they're not putting it on airplanes anymore. And all these... Well, nobody ever said that about silver. But notice silver, when I took a snapshot of this, the spread is 43 cents. 43 cents. That's 2.5%. That's the equivalent of gold being what? 45, 50 bucks, about what it was when everybody was, you know, oh, what does this mean? And the COMEX was breaking, you know, and all that stuff back in March and April. Well, now silver's in the same spot. What is silver? They're not flying. So, well, yeah, God, can you imagine trying to move 100 metric tons or whatever of silver? That would take a pretty big airplane. But anyway, look, this is an ongoing problem for the banks. And again, just another positive for us. Hello, St. Andrew's Gin. Wow. Definitely not going to be the only one of those I have. Okay, your next chart. We've got some gold charts, silver charts, GDX, and GDXJ. First, gold on the daily chart. Print this off. I mean, rarely are you going to see a more textbook example than what you have right here. Gold now breaking out, third highest close of the year. The only two higher closes coming when we were rushing in early April toward that April 14th high up near 1789. Looking fabulous. Just looks great. Gold on the weekly chart. This takes you all the way back to 2011, so you can really get some scale. Today's weekly close, like I said, best weekly close since October 12th, 2012. You can see this on that, see that on this chart. Any weekly close above 1788, this is pretty cool. 1788 is that intraday high from April 14th. 1788 is also that high weekly close back there in, geez, what must that be? October of 2011. Any weekly close above 1788, and we are going back to the all-time highs. Done deal. So we'll be watching that very closely in the days and weeks ahead. Silver on the daily chart. Remember, we just had to get above 16. Once we did that, we blasted through 1650 today. There is no identifiable resistance between here and 1750. Could go there on Monday. Wouldn't it all surprise me if we go there on Monday? Would not at all surprise me if then we just, you know, take a little time off and there's a little bit of profit taking before making a run to 1850. But silver obviously now rushing to catch up once it's above its 50-day moving average. Silver on the weekly chart. Look at this. Remember all this? Remember these lines? Remember how closely we followed these through 2017 and 2018 and how depressing it got? That trend line from October of 2016. And then we fell below it during that collapse in February. Well, guess what? We got back above it right away. We've held it as support for 3 weeks in a row. And now we're blasting higher. So much so that we are now comfortably back above the 200-week moving average. And notice, back in July, what happened when we got above the 200-week moving average? We immediately went from 1650 to 1950 in 5 weeks. After we held the 200-week moving average in November, we went from 1650 to 19 in 4 weeks. And now we're back above it again. I can't imagine that by the time the July contract goes off the board, and what's that, 6 weeks from now, that we won't have traded up above 19 at some point. I mean, that's what this chart's telling you. All right, to the GDX on the daily chart. Look at this. This is a trend line that begins the day your life changed. The first day of the rest of your life, March 23rd. Look at that. And we are comfortably intact. After looking like we were trying to break down and move through it a couple of days ago, that trend is just rolling. Look at GDX on the weekly chart. Again, breaking above that 32 level a couple of weeks ago, holding it as support, you know, last week, and now we're rolling. Yeah, might run into a little resistance around 37, but really, I think GDX is looking 40, 41. From there, 45. And from there, 50. And I don't see why it's not going there. We were talking about this back in December and January. So it's not like we just stumbled upon these charts, you know, yesterday. All right, the HUI. I thought I'd throw that on there because I mentioned it earlier. The HUI, still not, though, but up at the same kind of breakout level as the GDX, but it's getting damn close. That gap in the HUI, where the GDX was 32.28 or whatever it was, on April the 12th into April 15th of 2013, that gap in the HUI starts at 301.38. Get above there. The HUI looks like 350 and then 450. Again, levels we talked about back in our macro cast the first week of January. And the GDXJ, finally, again, also riding its same trend line, sharply higher, going all the way back to March 23rd. All trends come to an end eventually, but this one hasn't come to an end yet. Highest daily close today, highest going all the way back to September of 2016. And GDX on the weekly chart, you can see that. Now, again, like the HUI, the GDX gap in April of 2013 is 56. So it's got a ways to go. But I think it's gonna. And then once it closes it, because again, the GDX did, gold did. So gold broke out again above its 50-day then and soared. GDX got above its 50-day and soared. Eventually, GDXJ got above and now is soaring. Okay, gold got above 1550, soaring. GDX got above 32, close that gap, soaring. Once the GDXJ gets above 56, it's going to 70. 70. What are we now? 46. That's 50% from here. Do you think you could maybe profit in a 50% move in the GDXJ? Yeah, I think you could. Finally, your COT reports for this week. You know, I was expecting a kind of a bearish change, if you will, but I didn't see it. A little slight one in silver, but no big deal. For the COT week, gold was very volatile, but only down $4. Open interest was up 6,400. So you had to wonder, where's that coming from? How about this? The large specks in gold were the ones getting short. Good idea there. Yeah. In fact, the large spec net position actually declined for the week. And now down to 242,800 contracts. Dig this. That's the smallest large spec net long position since June 25th of last year. When did price break out? May 28th. So 1 month into this rally was the last time gold had this constructive of a COT report. Think we got some more room to go on the upside? Yeah, me too. And then silver, again, you already know, silver's already at that exact same level. Best COT level that we've seen there since June of last year. Now, a little bit of a change this week, mainly due to large spec short covering. But again, silver with open interest way down here at six-year lows. I mean, there's nothing to stop it, at least from a COT standpoint. So here we are, looking good. Now you might think, oh boy, we're doomed. Craig's excited. I better sell some. You know, that's always a reasonably good rule of thumb, right? When if there's anything true about the precious metals, at least trading on the COMEX, when things look the rosiest, you got to be prepared to sell some. And when things look the worst, you got to be prepared to buy some. We've seen several of those instances just this year alone. However, you've got to recognize the overall trend here, right? These changes since the onset of QE to infinity are noticeable, right? And QE to infinity ain't going away anytime soon. So it's going to be very smart to monitor your positions, okay? Look sharp, pay attention. But also, sometimes you just got to sit back and let it go. That's what I've done with that IRA. That's how it's gotten to be up three times in 4.5 years. I think it's going to go up three times again in the next 4.5 years. We'll see. All right, that's it. That's all we've got for this weekend. Again, I'm going to make this a public thread, so be nice, okay? And let's try to limit some of the crazy town stuff, some of the comments, okay? I personally don't think that Bill Gates is a Martian, and I don't think that his wife is like a tranny robot, okay? So when you post stuff like that here and people read it, it reflects badly on the site, okay? So let's try to limit that kind of crazy town stuff. There's a lot to discuss, even regarding COVID, that we can at least stay in the realm of, you know, realism. So let's try to do that, and let's have a great weekend, and let's be sure to see what Chief Coon Powell has to say on 60 Minutes Sunday night, and we'll see where the precious metals are trading then, too. Have a great weekend. Thank you for your time and attention. Thank you for being a part of this site, because we couldn't do it without you. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Till we do, it's time to go. This is your pal, Turd Ferguson, signing off. And I'm out.